All right, well, we interrupt our regularly scheduled series to bring you this important Mother's Day announcement or message. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and open up with me to the book of Job. The book of Job, and I know you're going to say, that's a strange Mother's Day passage. Well, it'll make sense in just a moment. As you turn to Job chapter 15, I've shared this story with you before, but it's a good one for Mother's Day. The story is told about three boys who left home, and they went out on their own, and they prospered incredibly well. I mean, just, boy, they were just hand over fist in the money. And they had done very, very well for themselves. And getting back together, they discussed the gifts that they were able to give to their elderly mother for Mother's Day. And the one boy, he said, well, he says, I built this big house for our mother. The other boy says, well, I provided Mom with a Mercedes-Benz and her own personal driver. The other one says, well, you know, Mom's eyesight's getting a little dim, and she's always loved to read her Bible. And he says, I found this parrot. It had been trained by 20 monks in a monastery for a number of years to be able to quote any Bible passage that Mom would say. All Mom has to do is give the chapter and verse, and that bird can start quoting it. And so soon afterwards, after the gifts had been given, Mom sent out letters of thanks, and she wrote this. She says, Milton, the house that you built is too big. I only live in one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Marvin, she says, I'm too old to travel. I stay home all the time, so I never use the Mercedes, and the driver is so rude. And then she said, dearest Melvin, you were the only son to have the good sense to know what a mother likes. That chicken dinner was delicious. Well, today is Mother's Day, and the first Mother's Day was actually celebrated in 1908, thanks to the work and the efforts of Anna Jarvis. Unfortunately, Anna Jarvis passed away before she was ever able to really see how much her efforts had accomplished and to see it become a national holiday. In 1908, the first celebration was done. By 1911, every state was celebrating it. And by 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation into law making Mother's Day official. Mother's Day is a fact. I mean, it's that simple. It's a fact. The only requirements necessary for a Mother's Day is that, number one, you must be female. Number two, you must have a child. That's it. Mother's Day. So we can wish you a Mother's Day. But we don't wish a Mother's Day to people. We wish a Happy Mother's Day. Now that's where it gets a little dicey. That's where it gets a little bit more complicated. If we are going to wish Mom a Happy Mother's Day, not just a Mother's Day, but a Happy Mother's Day, well, what does it take to make Mom happy? Now be careful, because I know some of you are going, we still don't know. You know the old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, pleasing mom really isn't that difficult, if you think about it. I mean, look how they've oohed and awed over a macaroni necklace, or they have oohed and awed over a dandelion bouquet. It's not that complicated to make mom happy. And so this is Mother's Day, and I don't preach on difficult passages for mom for Mother's Day. I'm not going to preach on Proverbs 31, although there's nothing wrong with that lady, but some of you just don't like that because it makes you feel pressured. And I'm not going to preach on 1 Peter 3. I did that last week, and I said I would never preach on that on Mother's Day. But what I do want to talk about today is what it would take to make Mother's Day a happy Mother's Day for Mom. Because don't we want Mom to be happy today? The front half is in agreement. How about the back half of you? Maybe it's just too far and you're a little quiet. Back half, do you want Mom to be happy today? Okay, all right. So here's how we do it. In Job chapter 15, verse 14, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Go to Job chapter 25 and verse 4. It asks another question. Job 25 and verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Being clean makes a mom happy. Being clean makes a mom happy. In your house, who is inevitably going to be the one to say, you need to clean your room. You need to clean your plate. You need to wear clean clothes. You need to make sure you're not doing the sniff test in a pile of dirty laundry. You need to make sure that you're clean. Who is typically going to say that? Dads? No, because dads oftentimes are the same culprits. Mom is going to say that. Mom is going to say those things. A Christian mom desires her kid to be clean, but not just physically clean. She desires her child to be spiritually clean. Job asks, how is it possible for the spiritually dirty to get spiritually clean? It's a good question. Jesus is going to answer that question in John's Gospel, chapter 13. So turn there with me, if you will. John's Gospel, chapter 13, presents something that we touch on every once in a while, typically somewhere close to Easter, not past Easter, usually before Easter. But this is something that Jesus does here. In John chapter 13, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And it says in chapter 13 and verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. First of all, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not clean. Now, I know maybe you're looking at the person sitting beside you and say, do I stink? And you say, well, I know I showered. I know these are clean clothes that I put on for church. I'm not dirty. Who's he calling dirty? I'm not talking about the exterior. I'm talking about the interior. I'm talking about that which only God can see. Because, folks, that's where the dirt, the filth, we come into this world, dirty and filthy on the inside. How do we get the inside clean? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Nobody who is spiritually dirty and hasn't been cleansed by the blood of Jesus will ever enter into heaven. You know, we got to remember that heaven is an absolutely morally, perfectly pure place. Dirt cannot enter into heaven. And so you say, well, I'm sure that once I get there, God will see, you know, the good that I've done and the good outweighs the bad and all that kind of stuff. That's not what the Bible says. No dirt's going to be able to enter into heaven. You got to be clean to get into heaven. Well, how do you get clean to get into heaven? You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That is the only way. That is the only way into heaven. This morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you need to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. That is the only way to enter into heaven. Jesus Christ paid the penalty, the price of your sins in his blood, and he was buried in the tomb, and he arose from the grave, and he has the power to make you a born-again believer in Christ. And you know what? I want to make sure that I clarify something. You do not get saved to make mom happy. That is not the motivation for getting saved. I think there is a lot of people in our world today that they made some sort of a quote-unquote a decision to make a parent happy, whether it was mom on Mother's Day, it was dad on Father's Day, it was a grandparent on Grandparents' Day. You know, they did something to make somebody else happy. That is not salvation. Salvation is strictly between me and God, and only the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And if I do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I need to get saved, not to make mom happy. Because to be perfectly honest with you, there are some moms in this world that if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that mom is not going to be happy. If that mom is just an out-and-out heathen, if that mom, let's say it's a Jewish mom, and you as a Jew have accepted Jesus, whom they reject, as your Messiah, you will be rejected in that Jewish home. So not every mom is going to be happy that you've accepted Christ as Savior. That's okay. Because you're not going to answer to mom, the answer to God. And you must be born again because it has everything to do with your relationship to God and whether or not you enter into heaven someday. Now, is mom, would the average mom, would I think, would every mom sitting here, if you got saved today, would that mom be happy? I would think absolutely. That mom would be thoroughly ecstatic if you accepted Christ as Savior. But that's not why you get saved. That's just one of the neat fringe benefits. But let's take what Jesus said to Peter a step further. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Once you are saved, you will still sin from time to time. That was the point of washing Peter's feet. That's what the Lord was saying to him. Peter, you're already clean. The only thing that needs to be cleaned is that which is dirty. That's your feet, Peter. And we can understand that from the culture and walking in the sandals and you don't have nice blacktop roads, you got dirt roads. And so now your feet are blacktopped or actually black-bottomed. And we need those feet clean because they're dirty. That's the whole point in our Christian life. When we sin, we don't lose our salvation and say, oh, I got to get saved all over again. No, I am clean. From the inside out, I am clean. What needs to be cleaned is that which has been made dirty. It says here in 2 Corinthians 7, 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have a responsibility to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. That means that we need to remove from our life anything that is filthy, anything that even appears filthy. If it doesn't look right, even if it, you say, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. But what does it look like? Abstain from all appearances of evil. We get those things out of our life. Why? Because we are supposed to be perfecting holiness. You know what holiness is? This is the problem with the average person in our world today. The way we think of holiness is, I didn't cross the line. So as long as I'm that close to the line, I'm still good. No. Why do we think that? Holiness says, if this is the line, holiness says, I got to get as far away from that as possible. We don't try to get as close to it. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're a saved individual, you are a born-again Christian, and you know that, but there are things in your life that aren't right. There's filthiness. It could be filthiness of thought, filthiness of actions, filthiness of attitude, filthiness of mannerism, music, movies, dress, habits, whole bunch of things that you could put in there. And those are things that today you need to confess and make right with God. Why? Because He wants you holy. And you know what? Again, you don't do this to make mom happy. But I will guarantee you that a mom, and just like Brother Larry prayed or sang about the mom that prayed, that mom has been praying and praying and praying and praying that your life would get right, that you would want to be committed, dedicated, devoted, holy to the Lord Jesus Christ in every step of your life. And you start getting rid of those things that are wrong in your life. You're going to watch a mom turn into a puddle of tears. You say, oh, I thought we wanted her to be happy. Oh, those are happy tears. Those are rejoicing tears. Those are excited tears. Do we do that to get that reaction out of mom? No, again, fringe benefit. We do that because God has called us to that holiness. You know, those things, it's just a repentant prayer away. And by the way, this isn't just about making moms happy. It's not just about, you know, the kids doing these things to make her happy. Moms, do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Are you living that fully separated, consecrated life to Christ? Dads, apply it to you. Everybody else, if you don't fit into that category, well, you do fit into, everybody's a kid. You're somebody's kid, right? So that means we've all got to fit into that category. Are we saved? You're either saved or you're not. Are you consecrated to the Lord? Are you dedicated to the Lord? Are you wanting your life clean and special before Him? You either are or you aren't. Which is it? Moms are made happy when we're clean. Here's the second thing. Eating right makes moms happy. Moms want their children to eat right. They will be the ones that will harp about diet. They fix good meals for the home. Typically, it is the mom who is conscious about that whole balanced diet thing, you know, getting the right amount of your fruits, your vegetables, your grains, your protein, and your dairy, the five food groups. Dads are conscious about the sixth food group. That's where Oreos, cookies, Doritos, and ice cream fit in. Moms are concerned about those other ones. Although my mom, she excelled in that sixth food group. She loved to bake. And I remember when I was just a little kid, kindergarten, first, second grade, and you go on the activities. You didn't want the parents to go along as chaperones. That's a bummer. But everybody wanted my mom to go along. You know why? Because here comes Martha with her box of bribery. Her Tupperware box of chocolate chip cookies. The kids didn't care if I went. They just wanted my mom. I know you feel bad for me, don't you? Christian moms actually have a seventh food group. The seventh food group is in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. In Ezekiel chapter 3, in the first three verses, Ezekiel chapter 3, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Let's back up to the book of Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. Look at verse 16. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. In 1 Timothy we have this. It says, If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You know, as you look through the Scripture, the Bible describes itself as a sweet roll, bread, water, milk, and meat. There's probably some other ones, but the thing I found interesting, I couldn't find any comparison to vegetables. Thy word is as a carrot and a salad tossed. You know, I've never found that verse, so what does that tell you? I mean, think about that if you want to study into that today. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says this, Taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, moms are interested that you eat correctly. And the seventh food group that mom is interested that you eat of and eat of plentifully is the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we have the familiar words of Scripture that says, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study simply means be diligent. Be somebody that is self-motivated. Kids, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Moms, do you suppose mom likes to say, Did you get your homework done? Is it done correctly? Do you have all of it done? Are you caught up on the assignment? Da, 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 da. Do you suppose mom enjoys asking you that all the time? How many of you think she likes doing that? I know it probably seems that way, but you think she really enjoys that? How much more would mom like to be able to just know that you are self-motivated to get the work done? Suppose that would thrill her heart? You see, moms would love. They would be so happy. It would be such a happy Mother's Day that if the kids were self-motivated, motivated to feed themselves of that seventh food group, the Word of God. What a joy to be able to see your kid with their Bible open, doing their Word of Life or their Olympian quiet time, and nobody had to tell them to do it. They just did it. And to see them on their own, just reading their Bible, you say, nobody does that. A Christian who wants to be close to the Lord does. A Christian who honors the Word of God, they do. And you say, well, I'll do that when I'm an adult. Why wouldn't you start those good habits now? Can you imagine how that could thrill the heart of a mom? Man, that would make a happy Mother's Day, wouldn't it? All right, here's the third thing. Doing our chores makes mom happy. How many of, and I'm probably asking the wrong group here, the little ones back in children's church are really the ones. How many of our kids here, you have chores that you have to do at home? Would you please put your hand up? Oh, good parents, excellent. You know, those chores that mom and dad had, well, it's mom's day, mom has you do. There was probably, especially as you were younger, maybe there was a chore chart to help you to remember what your chores were. And you knew that if you got all your boxes checkmarked, that you got all your chores done, there was a little reward at the end of some sort. Maybe as you got older, the chore chart disappeared, but the chores did it. They stayed put. Why did your mom give you chores? Is she just mean? Is she just lazy? Is she unconcerned about your social life? Is that why she's pouring chores on you? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I hope you would say no. It has nothing to do with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 9. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We are laborers. Who's the we? Who? Every single Christian. We are laborers together with God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." Who are the saints? Is every Christian, and I mean a born-again Christian, are they a saint? Do they always act saintly? No, it has nothing to do with that. They are called saints if they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. All right? So for the perfecting of the entirety of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? How many of them? All. You see, that's what you get for being a part of a family. When you're a part of a family, there are responsibilities. The people who live across the street from your house, they have no responsibility in your house because it's not their house. It's not their family. But those who live within the household, that's family. And you got to work together. It takes the group to do the work that needs to be done. The family of God, every single Christian, is supposed to be involved in the work of God. So I ask you this morning, Christian, what are you doing in the family of God? What is your function? If you had to write out a one or two word statement of what you do, what is it? Can you come up with something that you do in the family? There's nothing wrong with having free time and time to relax, but hours of it, that ain't reality. And kids that are can spend hours. We, for the fire department, we did flower deliveries yesterday. And I was amazed at how many people were still in bed at 8 a.m. And we'd ring the bell, and people aren't coming to the door for their flowers. And I'm like, good grief, it's 8 o'clock. And some of you are going, yeah, glad you didn't ring my doorbell. We were still waking them up at 10 and 11. I grew up, that was being lazy. I wasn't allowed to sleep that late. 7 o'clock, that's iffy, but you better be rolling out at 7 because we're going to go to work. That's life. That is life. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but there is never a day of my life where I say, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I wonder what that'd be like to say that. And just as soon as you get one thing off your list, it seems like 10 things pile on. There is never time to just sit, do nothing. That's life. That is life. So why do the parents Why does mom put up that chore list? Why does mom get you involved in the work? Because she knows that's life. You got to work. And you're not going to live there forever, they hope. You know, they hope you're not going to be 40 playing video games with the cats in the basement. They hope you're going to become a productive member of society. How are you going to become a productive member of society if you don't know how to work? Where are you going to learn to work at? Well, I'll learn that at my first job. We've met those people. They still don't know how to work. Where are you going to learn how to work? It's going to be at home. And it's going to be with those chore charts and things like that. That's why those things are there. Church family, we're supposed to be involved in the daily chores, if you will, of being a part of the family. That's just what family does. And isn't it fun to be able to work with your family? That's fun. That is a joy. Here's the final point. Mom's happy when we mind our manners. I save this for last because we'll be eating soon. Moms can get pretty fussy about manners. You know that whole manners thing? Moms don't like to see elbows on the table. I thought that was just support. You know? They don't like to see that. Please and thank you, that kind of stuff, absolutely necessary. Bodily eruptions, that better be at a minimum. Never done for entertainment purposes. And should it accidentally happen, it must be followed quickly and immediately with a sincere and an embarrassed apology. Why are moms like that? Is it just because they're too stinking girly and they don't they don't appreciate the finer things in life? I mean, really. It takes an awful lot of talent to drink all that pop and then to be able to belch the first opening lines of your favorite song. That takes talent. Dads, what do dads do when that happens? That's my kid. They perk up with pride. What does mom do? She puts her head in her hands and tears are going, I've raised a bunch of heathen. She's brokenhearted over it. Perhaps those things are not a big deal by themselves. But if we can't behave in the small things, we will never behave in the big things. Why is mom so fussy about what seems like so little to us? It's because if we don't learn how to behave, we will never behave. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Moms, I'm trying to help you out. All right? Because I know, moms, you want your kid to behave, right? You want them to behave with manners, with etiquette. You don't want them to look like they were raised by wolves because people will point fingers at you someday and say, oh, you're the wolf. No, I did better than this. It was him. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. One more, go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 7. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved ourselves, or we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Do you think that God cares how we behave? Now, I know we're talking, when we're looking at the scripture here, we are looking at much more than just table manners and life manners. What we are looking at is how we ought to behave as a Christian. God cares about that, right? In fact, it matters so much to the Lord that He gives some pretty serious instructions about that. He says, we behave not ourselves disorderly. That's some pretty serious statements He's making there. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, look what it says here. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us, that you withdraw from those who misbehave. Now, there, you put Scripture together as a whole, and we know for those who have misbehaved, there is the necessity to try to help them to behave. There is the necessity to help them try to grow up. But there seems to be some that don't want to grow up. They don't want to behave in the house of the Lord. Has mom ever tried to steer you away from somebody that would be a bad influence in your life? That's exactly what the Lord is saying here through the Apostle Paul. He's saying, stay away from the bad influence. It'll pull you down. It'll pull you down. Christian, I don't care what your age is, from the youngest one that is in here up to the oldest. Do you realize that if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we ought to be such an example of Christian behavior that we could say to somebody else, follow my example. Do as I'm doing. And if we can't say that, you say, I don't know, I'd want anybody following me that close. Or you say, well, maybe this isn't the greatest thing, but you've already answered your own question. Don't do it. Learn to behave. You know, we want moms to be happy, and that's really what Mother's Day is all about. We want to make mom happy. But more importantly, don't we want to please God? Don't we want to make God happy, the creator of each and every one of us? How do we do that? Starts by knowing Jesus Christ, his Son, as Savior. The Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven over that lost sinner that repenteth. How do we make God happy? It starts by knowing his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And then living a clean life like we ought to. God is happy with that. God is happy when we feast on His Word, when we're loving it and living it. He is happy when we work together serving Him, when the family of God is working together. And He is happy when we behave ourselves as a child ought to behave. Are we doing that this morning? And I'm not just talking to the kids, because kids are the ones making moms happy. But I'm also talking to moms, and I'm talking to dads. Are we making God happy? If not, what are we going to do with that today? If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, what are you going to do about that today? Here's what you can do. You have two options, all right? Option number one, walk out of here and do nothing with it. Tell God, no, not today, give Him an excuse, whatever, and you can leave. Just as lost as when you came in. Option number two is that today would be the day that you'd surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ and say, dear God, I am a sinner who believes that Jesus Christ loves me, died for me, was buried, and rose again, and that is the gospel in completion. And today I repent and I believe the gospel. I call on Jesus Christ to save me. That is your only two options, lost person. You will make one decision or the other. All right. So don't sit here today and say, oh, I'm not deciding either way. Yes, you are. In fact, every one of us makes a decision. Every one of us makes a decision. Whether we respond to the altar, you come forward this morning or not, every one of us made a decision. Will it be the right decision? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the moms and for the privilege that we have to live the kind of lives that would make them happy. Lord, we know what to do. We just need to be willing to do it. But Lord, their happiness is secondary to yours. The most important thing that we need to be able to do is walk out of here today and say that we have been pleasing to you. As Christians, may we examine our heart and our life that we would be pleasing in all things. And then, Lord, we pray for that lost soul. They need to be saved today. May this be the day of surrender where they would give their life to you. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name.